occasion. I was actually, it was quite life-threatening kind of situations.
Mate, it's not worth it, John. For the love of God, don't risk your life for an oyster.
But when you see it day in, day out, and sometimes the frustration is when they come up to you, they smile in your face, they smile, yeah, and they actually then push through as in like, you have not recourse, you cannot do anything to me.
How long have you done this job? How many years have you done this job?
I've been there for 5 years, and it's actually got worse. It's got worse.
Would you consider asking to move to a different area, lastly, of TfL as a result of this? You know, you'll go behind the, I don't know, behind the scenes or something like that, go down to the platforms.
I have. I have actually moved myself to a station that's a lot quieter.
Well, you look after yourself, John. Thank you for the work you do. I would dream of telling you how to live your life, but I honestly, it's not worth you and your family losing you or your friends losing you for the sake of an oyster fair. It really is. Look after yourself. Thank you. Music Means We Move On. Coming up, a report that says multicultural Londoners, they might love the city, they have little love for England. Our man Henry Riley took to the streets of Newham in East London to find out more.
When you think of England, what do you think of? Is it like David Beckham's right foot, for example, or Harry Potter?
I think David Beckham, Harry Potter.
Jerusalem, Land of Hope and Glory.
I'm not too familiar with those ones.
That puzzled him, bringing Jerusalem into the conversation, a full report, plus a high number of people who have ADHD but have not been diagnosed. All after the 9 o'clock news on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom, LBC has learned that children as young as 14 are being investigated over the sale of knives on social media. Police say the weapons are being sold to other young people on apps like Snapchat. LBC's Andy Hughes joined officers as they searched a property in London.
I found in 14 and 16-year-olds' bedroom, and mums give them to us to destroy.
Okay.
Because they're completely legal. Mum didn't know they were in the house, so that's why she's given them up and given them to us to destroy.
Snapchat says it removes illegal content and works with law enforcement agencies. You can watch Andy's full special investigation, The Knife Crime Generation, on the LBC app now. A 53-year-old man is due to appear in court over the crash at Liverpool's trophy parade on Monday. Paul Doyle has been charged with 7 offences, including causing GBH with intent and dangerous driving. 79 people were injured, the youngest of whom was 9. Hamas is reportedly set to reject the White House's latest plan for a ceasefire in Gaza. The US says Israel has accepted the proposal, which includes a 60-day pause in fighting and the release of more hostages. Military analyst Major Andrew Fox has told LBC he's not surprised.
There's a huge amount of clear blue water between the two negotiating sides at the moment. Bottom line is Hamas wants to survive. That is a win for them in this war. The conditions that Israel is demanding are that Hamas removes itself from power and releases all their hostages, where the hostages are the only thing ensuring Hamas's survival. So we're in this wicked loop now.
President Trump's trade tariffs are to remain in force for now. Judges have agreed to pause a trade court's block on the import taxes ahead of a full appeal from the White House. The Treasury is understood to be preparing to sell its final shares in NatWest Group today. The government stake in the bank, which was at more than 80% after the financial crisis, now stands at 0.1%. The bailout has cost taxpayers more than £10 billion. In the city, the FTSE 100 a short time ago was trading up 43 at 87.60. The pound buys $1.34 and €1.18. LBC weather, cloudy with rain for many places, turning drier and brighter later. A high of 25 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Thomas Watts.
Samantha? Samantha!
Go on, reward yourself. Get £4 2D tickets at Cineworld when you book online using club card vouchers and visit between 27th of May and the 8th of June, celebrating 30 years of rewards with Tesco Club Card. Prices for standard 2D ticket, T's and C's apply. See tesco.com/cineworld.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning, 4 minutes after nine on Friday, May the 30th. Maybe it's because I'm a Londoner that I love London so, but I have little love for England. That's if you're multicultural. We'll have a full report and then, most importantly, of course, take your views, particularly if you are multicultural, living in London or living in the rest of England. How come there's not the same affinity across the whole of the country? In other news, holy smoke, that disposable vape ban starts on the weekend, but what impact will it have? Do you actually owe the fact that you've given up the weed, the nicotine, the evil of tobacco because of your vaping? How concerned are you about Sunday? And as it is revealed, around 2.5 million of us have some form of ADHD, but only a third are diagnosed. Are you, someone you love, someone you know, labouring under a lack of diagnosis? Henry Shelford is the founder of ADHD UK, and he says...
There is a conversation, and that conversation is allowing people who've got ADHD to hear what it actually is and to go, wow, that's me.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Calling multicultural people across the width and breadth of our great nation. How in tune do with England, or of course if you're listening in Scotland or Wales, with Scotland or Wales or the United Kingdom, whichever you want to play, how in tune do you feel with this country? Or do you feel an affinity perhaps more with your local neighbourhood or, in London's case, with your city? Research, and we're going to hear more from the company that's involved in the research. Research shows that multicultural London, where obviously the highest number of these folk live, because it is the most populated city in the country, I think it's nudging either side of 9 million, actually, London has a weak attachment to London, according to research done by YouGov. As I say, you'll hear from someone there in a moment. Data showing residents of London more likely to have strong feelings towards the city than their country. Why is that? Well, we'll have more on the background and the questions that were asked, but we decided to send LBC's reporter Henry Riley to a part of London where there is a high settlement of multicultural folk to find out what lay behind it. He joins me now. Henry.
Nick, the headline on today's Daily Telegraph is Multicultural Londoners Feel Little Love for England. That YouGov survey that you referenced published yesterday suggesting those in the capital are more likely to feel closer to London rather than the country as a whole. Those living in London had the weakest attachment to England compared with other areas. Just 29% said they had a very strong attachment to the country. However, nearly 4 in 10 Londoners said they had a very strong bond to the city itself. So I've come to Manor Park in the most diverse borough in London, Newham, to find out if that bears true. Do you connect more with London than England? If
London.
Someone was, you'd say London?
Yeah.
And the people who say England will say, what about Winston Churchill and Land of Hope and Glory? What do you say to that?
Oh, that's ancient.
I'd probably say I was from London quite quickly, but I wasn't born in London.
If someone says London to you, what comes into your head?
I'd probably think of up west and of all the big sites up west, if I'm honest. Even though I work in Elephant and Castle and have done for 37 years, it's very much about the, you know, the centre of London and all the big sites in London.
England, what do you think of?
Yeah, I was a country I'm born. Was born in, I suppose.
And Jerusalem, Land of Hope and Glory.
Oh, no, don't even start me on that.
Well, I'm from London, but it's part of England, isn't it?
When someone says a London, what do you think of?
Multicultural. Yeah, absolutely, everyone's there. Yeah, so that's what I think of.
And would you apply that to England as a whole?
I think it depends on what region. Some part might not be multicultural compared to London, England. Well, compared to London.
Wait, when you think of England, what do you think of? Like, is it like David Beckham's right foot, for example, or Harry Potter?
I think David Beckham, Harry Potter.
Jerusalem, Land of Hope and Glory.
I'm not too familiar with those ones, but okay, definitely fine. David Beckham.
Well, I'm an American, so...
Well, that's interesting. As an American, though, what do you think of when you think of London?
It's one of those places. It's one of the key places in my mind.
What do you think of, lastly, when you think of England, not London? Is it like Churchill? Land of Hope and Glory? Fish and chips?
Very traditional. You know, I enjoy living here.
Nick, the polling also suggested that nearly a third of those in London think it's the worst place to live in the UK by either a little or a lot.
LBC's Henry Riley reporting from Manor Park in Newham. Well, we've referenced the polling. Let's come now to Patrick English, who's Director of Political Analytics at YouGov. They did the research and joins me now. Good to have you on, Patrick, if I might call you that. So what turned you on to this? Why did you and your colleagues decide to do this polling? Morning.
Good morning, Nick. You absolutely may call me Patrick, of course. Well, this it's always interesting, isn't it, to look into regional identities. We've been looking at elections across the world recently in places like Canada, Australia, of course, the US, where there are some really strong regional identities. And we thought, well, why not see? Why not check in with the British public and listen to how they're feeling about where they live and in relation to their sort of communities, their regions and the country as a whole. So we thought it'd be really nice to do this and publish it. And we're pleased that everyone's really enjoying the results and talking about it.
I want to talk to you more about London in a moment, Patrick. Can you give us, I'm reading the copy in the newspaper, give us some more of the regional variations that you found, such as the South West and Wales and other parts of the country.
Yeah, it's fascinating. So we were asking people how attached they feel to their region and how attached they feel to the country. And perhaps unsurprisingly, places like Scotland and Wales feel very strongly in terms of their regional identity. And areas such as London, the East Midlands, the East of England, comparatively simply don't. And then in the middle, there's a packed southwest of England, a little bit the southeast of England too, where people kind of have a bit of a regional connection, but not so much. I imagine, particularly in the southwest, if we delve deeper into sort of the counties, looked at Cornwall, for instance, versus Devon, we'd find even more stark contrasts there. So, yeah, you can put a map up, pin a map, and the sort of places you'd think would have strong regional identities, strong connections to their local communities, probably do, and some surprising candidates, perhaps, of those that don't.
Take us to the northeast of England. Quite strong up there, isn't it, Patrick?
Yeah, indeed, we had 48%.
Are we talking Newcastle and Sunderland, Middlesbrough, towns like that? Is that cities like that?
Yes, exactly. That's exactly where we're talking about, Newcastle, Sunderland. This was actually the highest region, sort of in terms of feeling the strongest identity in England to their regional area. And if we think about places like Newcastle, like Sunderland, the big football teams there, it's not hard to imagine really how the people there would feel such a strong connection to where they're from. And the accent even, indeed, is a distinctive thing. So I think that was a very interesting finding.
I don't want to drag you or let you stray in the political arena too much, Patrick. So are we an island of strangers?
I knew you were going to ask that question.
You've been listening for too long, sir.
Certainly for Keir Starmer might look at these results and perhaps align them a little bit with his speech from the other day. Look, I think it certainly is the case that the multiculturalism finding, as you've been highlighting this morning, is very interesting. London feeling much more connected to itself, and the thing when we ask them to name something unique or something that sort of popped to mind about their regional identity, a lot of it was about multiculturalism and this idea that, you know, London is does feel quite different, I think, to the rest of England. I'm up in Sheffield at the minute, and Certainly we think of London as a very different place to...
You want to know what you we think of Sheffield, mate, but we'll park that one there. Don't Absolutely. You worry about that. OK, coming to the end of our chat, does it matter?
I think it certainly does matter. I think, and to go back to the political arena, one of the most important things in politics right now, British politics, is the electoral geography of party support. In 2024, we saw the Conservatives collapsing all around the country, really, but it was different parties who were benefiting from that in different ways. And Liberal Democrats much more in the south, Reform UK across the east, and Labour in the Midlands and the north. And I think that plays into what we're seeing here. These different areas of the country, they do have different identities. They do think about things in slightly different ways. And the way they think about themselves in relation to their own communities, their areas, and then the country, I think is very closely tied into the political scene right now and the political geography of British politics.
Lastly, Patrick, what should policymakers take from this, whether it's central government, whether it's local government, whether it's tiny boroughs and parish councils? What should they take from this research from YouGov?
Well, I'll certainly leave the interpretation of specific policies on bin collections to those for whom it matters. But I would say that what these results might highlight is a growing sense, and Luke Trill has been commenting on this recently, that some people up and down the country are feeling quite disconnected from their communities and are feeling like things aren't quite as close-knit and connected perhaps as they used to be. And that's probably leaning into this sense of sort of identities here and there, communities, spirit, building back up this sense of a wider community where people can have sort of pride in their local area, sort of avoiding the degradation of high streets, maybe something that they could look into and look into these results and see where that might be needed most.
Patrick English, thank you for your time. You're Director of Political Analytics at YouGov. You've conducted this research. Let's pick up on some of the social media. This one, I don't know why, but you don't want to give me a name. I'm a Scot and I live in Kent. I feel Scottish and I feel British, but no affinity with England per se. Kent, however, and I love it. This comes in from Jarrow, multicultural Londoners. Why does that mean? Why don't you just say Londoners? Leanna's furious with me. Be careful. Sheffield is amazing. It has the highest retention of students in the whole of the UK. It is an amazing city. It's worth pointing out, I mentioned the Island of Strangers, which, of course, was the language employed a couple of weeks ago by Sir Keir Starmer. And I need to say that Sir Sadiq Khan, who, just to remind you, is the Labour mayor of London, distanced himself from those speeches, saying he wouldn't use those sort of words, or aren't words that I would use. He's also made a great virtue of that, championed the fact that multiculturalism is so important in this city. And the research carried out does bear that out. But if you are from a different country, born elsewhere, but you were raised here, particularly in London, why is it you have an affinity with the city but not with the country? And how important are those regional variations? Or are we actually an island of strangers? Sarah, by the way, asks, why are you asking about Jerusalem? Why are you causing such division? Sarah, and did those feet in ancient times? 9:15 LBC News headlines. Thomas Watts.
LBC has learned that children as young as 14 are being investigated over knife sales on social media platforms. A man's due to appear in court accused of driving a car into a crowd at Liverpool's Premier League trophy parade on Monday. The latest proposal from the White House for a ceasefire in Gaza is reportedly set to be rejected by Hamas. LBC weather, cloudy with rain for many this morning, then turning drier and brighter. A high of 25 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Delays continue on the M2 westbound, junction 2 at the A228. The exit slip road remains closed and two lanes are closed on the main carriageway. It's because of those emergency repair works. Very busy on the M25 in both directions between junctions 15 at the M4 and 16 at the A40. Also, delays continue northbound over Battersea Bridge. It's because of the closure of Albert Bridge. In East Ham, High Street North is closed in both directions and that's because of a fire. In Romford, very busy on Pettis Lane going southbound because of the emergency works. And still no Woolwich Ferry. The service is suspended because of a technical problem. And the District and Hammersmith and City lines remain part suspended.
This is LBC.
Sun's out, fun's out. At Tesco Mobile, our deals will help you get the most out of summer. Get the iPhone 16 Pro Max with unlimited data for just £54.99 a month with club card prices, saving you £207. And you'll collect club card points too. How you choose to spend them is up to you. It pays to be connected. Search Tesco Mobile. Every little helps. Ends 13th of July, 16.74. Club card and 36-month credit agreement required. Collect 1 point for every £1 spent. Minimum 150 points required for club card vouchers. See tescomobile.com/terms.
This is LBC. Listen on Global Player or the new LBC app. Download it from your app store now.
When you smile in.
Banning Dental Group Clinics. With over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
The Virgin Atlantic holiday sale is now on. This is your sign to taste Jamaican jerk chicken so good it brings a tear to your eye. Catch a New York basement gig worth the 10-block detour. Or hit the dunes in Dubai and find sand in your pockets for weeks. Seize the sale. Book in-store or online at Virgin Atlantic Holidays. Selected routes. For T's and C's, visit virginatlantic.com.
Music, news, celebrities, socials, entertainment, podcasts, video. The world of media and entertainment is a world we all turn to every second that we can. And university isn't for everyone. So, if you're leaving school, take a look at joining Global Academy in year 14 to take a unique course in creative enterprise and kickstart your media career. Get industry experience, develop your entrepreneurial skills, and it's free. Apply now at globalacademy.com.
With Little Plus Fruity Super Spin, simply shop and spin to win a free fresh fruit coupon with every shop. Download the Little Plus app to get by switching to the Retail Industry Awards Fresh Produce Retailer of the Year. 18 plus GB residents, various prizes available, subject to availability. Ends 4th of the 6/25. Full T's and C's apply. See little.co.uk/spin.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
Maybe it is because I'm a Londoner that I love London so, but I ain't got that much feeling for England. David's in Edinburgh. Let's start there. Good morning, David.
Hi, good morning, Nick. Great show, great broadcaster. I was born in London. I was born in Harrow, to be exact.
Right.
My mother stayed in St John's Wood till I was about 4 or 5, and then we came up to Scotland.
So was your mother the Scottish then?
My mother was Scots.
You were Scottish, I see. Yeah.
And I love London because I've been going to London for, well, I'm 75. I've been going to London since I was about 19.
Right. Okay.
Because I have relations down there who are now dead.
Right.
And I know London inside out, and it's a fantastic city. But I haven't been in London since the pandemic. And every time there's a news thing comes on, people, they say it's frightening, you can't go into the West End.
That's nonsense.
And I used to love to go into Fulton and Mason.
You can go into the West End. I go into the West End.
I'm sure you can. Yeah. But you hear these things and you say, because I want to go back down, because London is my second home.
Yeah.
And I love it. And I, as I say, I used to go down the Portobello Road.
Yeah.
Then I would go up to Islington. It's a fantastic...
So let me ask you... Excuse me. I do apologize. So let me ask you this, David. Are you a Londoner? Are you an Edinburghian, whatever you are? Are you a Scot? Are you a Brit? What are you first?
Well, what I am is I'm a Londoner with a Scots accent.
So you consider yourself... So if push came to shove, you're a Londoner first, more than a Scot... Well, you're not Scottish, but more than you are a Brit.
Well, I'm just taking I'm a Londoner because that's my birthplace, London. But I've lived in Scotland all my life since I was about five. Mm. And I'm also Scottish, and I love Edinburgh. Edinburgh is...
So when England plays Scotland at football, you're pulling for which team?
I'm not a football fan at all.
All
I'm
right,
not
rugby.
Into it. Not even rugby. But
okay, netball, that well-known netball championship that England plays Scotland at.
No, I know nothing about that, Nick. But, Nick, can I say one thing to you?
Yes, sir.
Samuel Johnson, does that mean anything to you?
Yes, and exactly. Yes, right. I know exactly. Yes.
And, right. In
great chronicler of events. Yep.
That was his friend, right? And Boswell said one day in a tavern before they were called pubs, he said, you know something? He said, I'm fed up with London. But, and Samuel Johnson said,
if you're fed up
very
with
famous
London.
Saying, if you're tired of London, you're tired of life.
And that'll do it. I think that's fantastic. Back to those days. David, thank you. Look after yourself up in Edinburgh. Come and see us again soon. I can't believe you've not been down since COVID. What's that, 2020, the country was shut down. It went on for a year or so. Where are we, 2020? It's about 3.5 years. You need to come back, man. Jamie's in Wolverhampton. Jamie, you're on the radio. Do you feel it, English? British?
Morning,
what are you?
Nick.
Good morning.
Yes, mixed race, British.
Okay.
Now, my job is in the service industry,
yep.
Water hygiene. I've actually visited every city in England.
Whoa. You've visited every city in England?
Every city. My work takes me everywhere across
Daventry.
All industries. Sorry?
Daventry.
Yes. Daventry. My work takes me everywhere. I get talking to a lot of different people. And the one thing that you see is that the attitude is vastly different once you leave London. And the reason for that is everyone recognises the same issue for me, which is...
Go on, what's the same issue?
It's the wealth distribution across this country. Everything in our economy has to get shoehorned through London. We have major projects like HS2, the Northern Leg's now completely cut off, but the link to London is still there.
Mm.
Crossrail, again, you know, massively over budget, just
yes.
the same as HS2, but it did get finished. Why? Well,
for those who would say London and the South East powers the rest of the national economy, how would you respond?
I love that argument. I love that, because of course it does. And the reason
and
for that
if we spun London and the M25 off, we would be just behind Monaco per capita, and we wouldn't have to worry about people in Wolverhampton. What, pardon? We wouldn't have to worry about the rest of the country. Jamie?
Yes, but the idea is, if you invest in your largest economy because you get a greater return, it will always be your larger economy.
Right.
Now, we can go back to the 50s and 60s, where you had a city like Birmingham, which was actually forecast to outgrow London. And you can look this up, you can Google search.
I've never heard that before, but I believe you.
Don't believe me.
Google I believe... No, I didn't say that. I said I hadn't heard that, but I will believe you. Yes, sir, go ahead.
My point is that everything... London always has to come out on top, and...
Well, it's because it's paying for everything.
Of course it pays for everything.
Yeah, well, we should pretty well be on top.
The reason why it's paying for everything is because we put everything through London. All our large corporations, they're all based in London. They'll have outlets everywhere around the country, but they're based in London.
Well, that's because you can get in and out quickly, and it's nice.
But the point is really that if we want to see less disparity in wealth across this country, then effectively we need to treat London not as this sort of special crown jewel. Where
but it is the crown jewel.
It's the crown jewel because where would
England, where would Britain be without London? It'd be absolutely a basket case.
Well, we'd be a lot better off, actually.
You wouldn't financially. I mean, you could argue we have our problems down here.
Cities around the country would be more equally divided in terms of funding.
I mean, the money that's been poured in... I sometimes go to Manchester and I've been through other northern cities. The money that's been poured into Manchester and Leeds is phenomenal, Jamie, lastly, on this. Phenomenal.
And still, it's nothing close to London.
All right. Look after yourself. Thank you. The delights of the Black Country in Wolverhampton. We'll take more calls on that. But I have mentioned this story and we do need to get to it because I apologise. I've had someone holding on the line on this and I need to move. Do you think you have ADHD or someone you love or know has? More than 800,000 people in England, I'm sorry, I don't have the UK figure, in England have been formally diagnosed with ADHD, says NHS data. But there is a fear that the number could actually be about 2.5 million. So it's a little under a third. One in 44 children have the condition on their medical records. There's about one in 125 adults. But campaigners are saying the numbers are far, far greater. Leanne Maskell is author of ADHD and A to Z. She's also director of ADHD Works and is an ADHD coach and joins me now. Hopefully I can call you Leanne. Good morning to you. How does one know if you've got ADHD? Morning.
Good morning. Well, what our system currently says is that they would have to be diagnosed by a qualified professional. So that would be a psychiatrist usually. And these are the people that can give medication and you'd have to meet the criteria in the NICE guidelines. So essentially it is a decision made on a holistic presentation of someone's life. And it's very difficult to tell whether someone does or doesn't have it.
What might make people think they have? You're a coach in this area, you've written a book in this area. How do people commonly present themselves if they think they've got it?
Well, for me personally, when I was diagnosed with ADHD, I didn't know that I had it. I didn't go to that assessment thinking that I had it at all. I just couldn't keep control of my own life. I kept quitting any job that I started. I managed to get a law degree, but had no idea how I had managed to get that because I didn't go to any lectures. And when I got A's in my exams, the teacher asked if I had cheated, and I had just taught myself all of this information very quickly at the end of the year.
You didn't attend one lecture? Seriously?
I went to a couple of lectures, but when I went to them, I just literally left feeling like I'd been listening to Chinese for 2 hours.
Right.
And all of the reading, when I tried to sit down and do it, I just would find myself constantly drifting off, realizing that I'd not actually concentrated on what I was reading. I just highlighted pages and ignored it. So I found that way of learning really difficult, but I didn't realize at the time that it's because I had ADHD. I just thought that I was stupid.
Is there a measure of ADHD? Is there a degree of severity so that my listeners can get a sense of where you are on the scale, Leanne?
Yeah, and I'm not the person to really say how severe someone's experience is, because I also think it depends a lot on your life situations. But for me personally, I was about to take my own life when I finally went to a psychiatrist and told them everything. I took a presentation of all the different conditions I was sure I had, which didn't include ADHD. And he said, no, you've got ADHD. And I said, that's not a real problem. I have a real problem. And he was like, yes, you have a real problem. And I said, fine, give me your drugs. He was like, we can't give you drugs. You have to come back and fill in forms. We have to talk to your family. And I went on holiday for 2 weeks and came back a year later. And I said, I believe you.
You went on holiday for 2 weeks and you came back a year later. I had colleagues been like that. How did you fund that year?
I moved in with a stranger that I met on the beach.
Okay, how did that work out? This is a book here, isn't it? And I want the movie right. Get Spielberg on the line. We've got the next one.
Actually, it's the last book for ADHD.
I'm going to tread carefully. How did that go with the stranger you met on the beach?
Very badly, as you can imagine. Random strangers like come up to you and invite you to live with them and do a visa with them are not a good idea. It was really...
What made you say yes? Do you mind if I ask if it was a bloke? If that's a gamey... It was a bloke, right.
Exactly.
Right. So you're an attractive blonde woman on a beach. A bloke comes up and says, would you like to come and move in with me? And your immediate response was yes.
Well, it didn't happen exactly like that. He came up and said, do you want to come surfing? Had an amazing day together. He said, come and live with me. You know, you can stay here. And I was like, oh, no, I'll get a flat. I'll study. And he said, no, like, right. You know, you can live here. And I just moved.
And where were you? What country were you in?
Australia.
Oh, okay. All right. Country I know well.
So,
I had an unfortunate experience down there. I don't talk about either, but there we go. Some years ago. Okay, so have you found yourself now as a coach and a director of ADHD Works?
Yeah, so for me, again, I can talk from my personal experience. I think that was quite severe because I'm lucky to be alive. Really lucky to be alive, but...
Crikey.
You know, not everyone that I talk to is like that. So I think there are definitely degrees of how much it impacts your life, but it doesn't mean that you yourself are disordered.
Knowing what you know now, Leanne, are you glad you got ADHD?
I don't really have a feeling about it. I'm really glad that I got help. And because you said, have I found myself now? Like now I've written 5 books, I've presented to the World Health Organization and Disney. But most amazingly for me, I've managed to live in the same flat for 3 years. And before that, I couldn't stay in a place longer than a year for like...
Is that because of emotional issues or financial issues or a bit of both?
All kinds of issues.
Right, okay.
Emotional issues, financial issues, work issues, moving country. So I would say ADHD feels like you're living in a TV show and you have no idea what is going to happen by the end of the day because you can't trust yourself, which can be really difficult. And now... The relevant
government agencies, the NHS, the Department for Work and Pensions, how aware are they of issues of folk who have ADHD, do you think?
I think they're very aware that there are a lot of people that have been missed, like myself, who, you know, is able to get a degree and graduate, but just to actually stay in a job longer than a few weeks. I think they're very aware that people are struggling and need help. But what I think they're not aware of is how to help them. And I think they're going about it a really terrible way by gatekeeping support and making people wait for years and having very outdated...
Going to be a little bit late to news because I'm just thoroughly enjoying this conversation with Leanne. So if you're waiting for the news headlines, probably about a minute or so away, I just need to tell you that. Just come to the end of our conversation then. When I put the phone down on you, we're going to listen to some news headlines. And then people will start calling me and texting me and emailing saying... Oh, we never had this in our day. This is all overdiagnosed. What's this woman on about ADHD? She should just get a job. She's just being lazy. Of course she wanted to travel the world with a blonde surfer in Sydney. How would you respond?
I would ask them why they care so much. I think that's my general response to, you know, I get that stuff every day. Like,
do you? Yeah.
Why do people care? Why does it affect them so much that they would even feel the need to call up and say, of course she's got this, whatever, everyone just wants a label. But my general approach is whatever you want to call it, ADHD, autism, neurodivergence, like why does it affect other people so much if these people are seeking help? And why don't they deserve help if it can help them?
Okay. Have you got a good supportive family, lastly?
Relatively. But understanding my own neurodivergence has helped me to build those relationships and have them understand me better as well.
And what's first, the book, the movie, the mini-series? What are we going for firstly?
I don't know. I have no idea what I will do next. So, teaching, but I do think that having the right environment around you is proof of
fascinating.
What can be with this.
All right, well, I know what I've got to do next, which is say goodbye because I've got to get some news headlines. Leanne, I've enjoyed our time together. Leanne Maskell wrote ADHD and A to Z and is a coach and director of ADHD Works. You're listening to Breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari. By the way, if that affects you, someone you know or love, do give me a call. We're going to talk about it more. We're at 9:33 news headlines then. Thomas Watts.
Children as young as 14 could be selling knives on social media platforms. The warning follows an LBC investigation that found an average of 12 knives are being found in Britain's schools every day. The suspect in the crash at the Premier League trophy parade in Liverpool is due to appear in court this morning. 79 people were injured in the city
on Monday. Hamas is expected to reject the White House's latest plan for a ceasefire deal in Gaza. The US says Israel has accepted the proposal, which includes a 60-day pause in fighting and the release of more hostages. LBC weather cloudy with rain for many places this morning, then turning drier and brighter. A high of 25 Celsius.
Sunday with Lewis Goodall.
Dame Emily Thornberry, chair of the Foreign Affairs Select Committee, Labour MP in Islington as well, of course, joins me in the studio. Do you think we're moving on from the Brexit wars?
I think they probably don't care. I mean, I think that on the whole, those who wanted to leave are happy, those who didn't want to leave are not particularly happy, but everybody's kind of moved on.
Listen on your radio, on Global Player, and the new LBC app.
Do you agree with him that they are using starvation as a weapon of war?
They say that they are not allowing food into Gaza in order to get the hostages back. I have to say, this is not the way to behave. They have to stop. This far-right government is behaving in the most appalling way, and there will be a reckoning.
Sunday with Lewis Goodall. Sunday morning from 10 on LBC.
Looking for a fun-filled day out this spring? The O2 has it all. Catch the latest blockbuster at Cineworld or challenge your friends with interactive football at Toker Social. Take on darts, mini golf and more at Boom Battle Bar. Get active with a game of paddle tennis, climb to new heights or take flight with an indoor skydive at iFly. Feeling hungry? Choose from over 30 bars and restaurants and discover flavours from around the world. Search Do More at the O2 to start planning your perfect day.
Ready, steady, the Toyotathon sale event is on!
Race down to your nearest Toyota centre and save up to an extra £1,000 on a new Toyota. But hurry, deals must end 31st of May. The Toyotathon sale event is on!
Offer valid on eligible new vehicle orders 1st to 31st of May and registered by 31st of July 2025. Retail customers only, T&Cs apply. See toyota.co.uk for details.
Car owners, you could be owed thousands in compensation. If you bought a car on finance from 2007 onwards, it may have been sold with hidden commissions. Text CLAIM to 86688. My Claim Group. Authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. You don't need to use a CMC. You can claim direct to your lender and the financial ombudsman for free. Text CLAIM to 86688.
Claims made simple.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
Living with ADHD. I nearly said coping, but I checked myself. Because if you listen to that young woman and what she's doing with her life now, I wouldn't say that she's in any way coping. She's living with it. And is that perhaps the kind of change in language that we need to see? Anna's in Andover. Andover, Anna. Thank you, Anna, for holding so long. What do you want to tell me? Good morning.
So I called in to share that my brother was diagnosed when he was four. So this was in the mid-90s. My mum knew that she found it really hard compared to me. I'm the older sibling.
How many of you are there? Two?
It's just the two of us.
The two of you, right. How much older than your brother are you, just roughly?
I'm only 2 years older.
Okay. So, what do you recall of his behaviour that perhaps...
So it would always be really busy. He would always be busy. He had to move, keep moving around. He would find things that he could concentrate on for short periods of time and then have to move on to something else. So my mum sought medical support from the GP. He was referred to CAMHS and was diagnosed...
Adolescent mental health services. Yep.
And was diagnosed at four with ADHD. So in the 90s... Very new, not really known a lot about.
What level of support was then provided for your brother?
So he was, he got quite a lot of support as a child. He was given medication. This is all very new medication, not really sure what would work the best. Mm-hmm. And he eventually went into primary school. The school shared that they weren't able to meet his needs, so he actually went on to a boarding school. So got a lot of educational support.
And did the state pay for that, or did your parents?
It was funded through what used to be called a statement, which is all changed now to the NEHCP, is that right?
Emotional health care plan.
Which I think is something that
plan.
So once he lives with ADHD, he got to 18, like all 18-year-olds, sort of said, I don't need that. and disengage.
The rebellion, of course. That's what the point of being 18 is all about, yeah.
And then over a few years, I think he's sort of come to go, yeah, actually, that medication really helped me focus.
Right.
And now I don't have that medication anymore because he disengaged with the adult services.
Right.
So my mum supported him to reapproach the GP to see whether he could restart that medication. Mm-hmm. The GP shared that he has to be referred on to secondary services, so a service that would oversight him. And then they shared that there's a long waiting list and he has to be re-diagnosed again.
What, now you and mean?
Yes, yes.
So he's going to be 30-something, is he, your brother now?
He'll be 32, and he's still on a waiting list. So he went on in 2021. My mum reapproached in 2023. They shared that there's about a 5-year waiting list. So for an adult who lives, who's been diagnosed in the 90s, has a long record. We even had, I can remember as a child, because he was one of the first children to be diagnosed, we had someone who would was like a researcher. So we had someone who would come and video him to see him in different settings. So we have an adult that lives in, who lives with this condition.
Right.
And he can't access, well, he can access services, but he has a 5 to 6 year waiting list.
So what's is your brother able to work?
No. He can probably do short periods, and then he can't. He finds it really hard to sustain any form of employment.
Right.
And I think the previous caller was sharing that she finds lots of things really difficult to focus on, and he's agreed for my mum to support him with his finances. So his benefits go to my mum, so my mum can make sure, you know, the bills are paid, because if he didn't, he would
Let me read you this. You might have heard in my interview, I said to the young woman, when I put the phone down on you, people are going to ring up and say, why isn't it like this on our day? Let me just read. Jane says, that woman is experiencing the trials and tribulations of life, but of course, after our benefits. So there's this sense that people are having a life on benefits that we're funding. What would you say to Jane's comment on the other interview that I had?
I'd say that my brother lives with this condition. If he, like, for example, if he went back on and got his medication, I'm quite certain he would be able to, with support from my family, be able to return back into work.
What was the job he was doing?
It's nothing. Like, he enjoys, like, doing trade work, getting back into, like, learning. But without that,
so he's never done a job as such.
He's done short periods of work, but right. has found it's that living with ADHD.
Right.
I think if you met with him, he said it's wild. One minute he'll be one place, and then his mind just takes him somewhere. I could make an appointment. I could make a time to see him, like at 1 o'clock, and then I'd ring him 10 minutes before, and he'd be like, "Oh, was I meant to meet you?"
Is he happy?
No, I don't think he's particularly happy.
What makes you say that?
Well, sadly, I think because he hasn't got this medication, he's had to find other ways, and I think we can probably know what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
So, and it's really sad to watch because, you know, he's been waiting for such a long period of time.
Mm.
And how else do you calm your mind?
And he can't just request the drugs from the doctor?
No, he
has to go through this process.
Yeah, so my mum even reapproached a couple of weeks ago and said to the GP surgery, if we get a private, if we pay privately, would you then be able to prescribe the medication? And the GP surgery said we don't share prescriptions from private diagnosis.
But can't that private prescription you could take to the chemist, the pharmacy, sorry, couldn't you?
Because it has to go through the NHS.
Oh, really?
The GP surgery won't re-prescribe it.
And you can't go direct to the pharmacy with the private doctor's prescription?
Well, I think if it is, then it costs a lot of money to obviously continue to see a private clinician every time you need to be reviewed.
Yeah.
You know, a family.
Yeah, I quite hear what you say. Anna, okay, I've got to go because other people want to have their say. Can I send my best wishes to your brother? Thank you for that. Phil says it's an educational healthcare plan. Sorry, did I say emotional? Phil, thank you for correcting me. Of course it's educational healthcare plan. I probably had issues of emotional health on my mind because of ADHD. Thank you, Phil. Matt says I had to wait 3 years for an initial interview with a psychotherapist. The interview lasted 3 hours. I was told I have to wait another 2 years for a decision, and after that, around another year to wait for a decision on medication. Goodness me. Luke's in Norwich. Luke, your view on this story. Good morning.
Oh, hi there, Nick.
Hello.
So I have ADHD myself.
Okay. When was it diagnosed?
So that was just under 3 years ago, and I'm 31 now.
And how did you know? What was the condition in your life that made you think?
So it was quite serious, actually. So it's kind of why I wanted to sort of share my story to sort of help people understand how severe it can be and that it is real. That I couldn't handle my own mind, and I was an alcoholic very heavily throughout all of my 20s.
Right.
So it wasn't, and the ADHD diagnosis and medication that came afterwards saved my life. And next week I'll be 2.5 years sober.
Well done.
And thank you. And honestly, my life has completely changed. I'm so happy. I'm capable of doing all these things that I knew I was capable of doing. And the drinking was just because I didn't know what was wrong with my brain and I couldn't work out how to manage it. And
what was the drink doing? Just kind of numbing it all, dulling it all for you, effectively?
Yeah, just winding down at night. That was the main thing. Yeah. It just made me feel normal. And actually, alcohol helped me get things done, weirdly.
Oh, really?
It almost cleared my mind. And I'm led to understand that this is to do with the dopamine that affects ADHD, the lack of dopamine, and that's how I was kind of self-medicating.
Were you able to work through this period or not?
I was. I managed to actually maintain a job in prison education, believe it or not.
Okay.
So I really could have had a lot worse go on in my life. I was very lucky, but it did, you know, it got to the point with my drinking that if I didn't stop when I did, I would be dead. It was serious.
Can I read you a text that's just come in? Anastasia. Yeah. ADHD is a lot of nonsense, a Mickey Mouse condition that we're all paying for. What would you say to Anastasia, Luke?
I understand the struggle to believe it's real, because in the same way that I can't get my head around how someone without ADHD feels. In the sense that it's so difficult to put yourself in the perspective of someone where you're never going to be able to be in their shoes.
Yeah.
But it is, what I learned in prison education as well was there are so many people in the prison system that clearly have ADHD or some other kind of condition like autism, that actually I truly believe that if they had been given just some extra support when they were younger, they would never have gone down such a terrible path in their lives. And that whether you believe in the condition, you can clearly see the effects when you meet people who've got it.
Lastly, Luke, what's the toughest part of staying sober?
Do you know what? At the moment, it's quite easy. I was recently involved in a motorbike accident. I've got to have limb reconstruction surgery over 2 years.
Oh,
and, yeah, and you wouldn't believe, like, a few years ago, I would not have been able to manage a stressful day at work without a drink.
Yeah.
So that is the power of being treated to, you know, identifying this with just a little bit of medication.
Look after yourself. Well done. Have a good weekend. I've gone late to the news again, Luke, because I wanted to hear your story. You stay sober as long as you can. It is 9:47, LBC News headlines then. Thomas Watts.
LBC has learned children as young as 14 are being investigated over the sale of knives on social media. A 53-year-old man is due to appear in court over the crash at Liverpool's trophy parade on Monday. And President Trump's trade tariffs are to remain in force for now. LBC weather, cloudy with rain for many this morning, then turning drier and brighter. A high of 25 degrees.
It's still very slow on the M25 in both directions between junctions 15 at the M4 and 16 at the M40, and that's all down to an accident that happened earlier. Also, the delays continue on the M2 westbound junction 2 at the A228, and that's because of the emergency bridge works. The exit slip road stays closed as well. No Woolwich ferry running. It's been suspended because of the technical problem, and also in East Ham, High Street North remains closed both ways because of a fire that happened yesterday. On the Underground, the Hammersmith and City Line can't run between Barking and Liverpool Street. Then there are severe delays on the rest of the line. But the district line's now back up and running, but with severe delays. And also minor delays on the central line between Epping and Leytonstone.
Coming up at 10 on LBC, James O'Brien.
You know that internet meme about the worst person you know doing something that you approve of? Robert Jenrick and fair dodging. What do you reckon?
James O'Brien on LBC.
The legendary George Smiley is back. It's spring 1963. A Russian agent has defected in the most unusual of circumstances, and Smiley will soon find himself entangled in a perilous mystery that will strike at the heart of his greatest enemy. Return to the spy world of John le Carré with the gripping Sunday Times best-selling thriller Carla's Choice by award-winning novelist Nick Harkaway. Out now in paperback.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973 LBC.
It's your home, darling. Let's make it fabulous. High scoring isn't my forte, but there's no arguing with Trustpilot ratings. Shutterly Fabulous have an expert team of fitters who specialise in one thing, simply gorgeous window shutters. Made to measure, hand-finished, and expertly installed. Make your home Shutterly Fabulous. So don't dither, darling. Book a free consultation with our expert shutter fitters today.
Calling all young creatives. Kickstart your career in media. Apply now and join us in years 10 or 12 at Global Academy. GlobalAcademy.com.
The McSpicy Frank's Red Hot is back. It's the McSpicy, but hotter. With 100% chicken breast fillet, melty cheese, fiery jalapenos, and that irresistible Frank's Red Hot mayo. Danger, danger. Make it hot. Available until the 17th of June. Serve from 11 a.m. Participating restaurants only. Subject to availability.
Next time you walk their dog or feed their cat, when you pop by for a cuppa or just stop for a chat, tell your friends about Pension Credit. They could be missing out on an average of over £4,000 per year to boost their pension income. Pension Credit also unlocks other support like help with heating costs, council tax, and a free TV licence for people over 75. Tell them to search for Pension Credit on gov.uk. Pension Credit. Credit where credit's due. Eligibility criteria apply.
How likely is she to, you know, have another heart attack?
Can I still go to the gym after heart surgery?
Is my mum still my mum if she has a new heart?
When it comes to heart health, no question is too big or small. That's why British Heart Foundation have dedicated cardiac nurses you can speak to by phone, email, or online chat.
Hi, this is Chloe from British Heart Foundation. How can I help?
Search BHF Cardiac Nurses.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
We've touched on something here, this research that says there's around 2.5 million people in this country living with, not coping with, living, I'm so sorry, live in England, I should have said, not the United Kingdom, with ADHD, of whom a little under a third actually have the diagnosis. Claire's in Saffron Walden. Claire, we're talking about your son. Might I ask how old he is? Good morning.
He's 17.
And when did the diagnosis come through?
He was formally diagnosed about 2 months ago, but he was put under the NHS when he was 12 and was sort of partially diagnosed then, but then COVID hit, so it kind of halted things.
Gosh, just at the worst possible time for the young man. What made you think that he might have some form of condition?
So I would say that what ADHD is not having any kind of executive function, so he can't organise anything.
I mean, a lot of people would say every 17-year-old boy is like that, of course.
Yeah, and that's what I thought. So he's a bright boy, but he completely struggles because he can't organise his day, organise his schoolwork, constantly loses things, forgets things all the time. And trying to sort of get through school life without having that capability is a constant struggle. So I'm one of those people that would have said ADHD, dreamt up, you know, what really is it? And I thought that progressively all the way through, and I've kind of been proved wrong. And I wish.
In what way have you been proved wrong?
Through the diagnosis that he's now got, and hoping that it would go away, and hoping that he would get better, hoping that he would mature and it was just adolescence. And it's none of those things. It's got worse. And for me, now seeing the difference that medication has made, and So the main medication for ADHD is a stimulant. So he is on something called Concerta. And basically what the medication does is it stops all of the distractions. It immediately focuses the mind. So it means that they can have that executive function.
How long has he been on it?
He's been on it for 5 weeks now.
What changes have you noticed?
Everything. Absolutely.
Well, expand a bit on that.
Now he doesn't forget anything. He can sit down and do his schoolwork for hours at a time. His mood has gone from being erratic to being calm.
Gosh.
He's just a totally different person, and he's happy.
Must be a transformed house.
It's transformational, and now I blame myself for not having done that early, not having sought medical help.
But that's
that
part of being a parent, by the way. You blame yourself.
By the way,
you will blame yourself all the time you're a parent. That never ends, so don't worry about that.
I think if I could speak to any other parents out there, I think I was in the camp of there's no way I want him to be medicated with such a strong medication when he, 13, 14.
Sure.
I just wish I had thought differently then. And for all those people that think that it's not a real condition or it's something that you can get benefits for and so it's a bit of a scam, they're so wrong.
What does the future hold for the boy?
So I also just want to make a point about the way that the NHS is dealing with this. So in the end, we got a private consultation with a psychiatrist.
That wouldn't have been cheap.
Explained it to me, which is about £2,000.
Mm. Best money you ever spent, by the sound of things.
It's I'd pay it again, but it's £2,000. And I think, it's a bit of a racket now in the private health sector. The GP will advise you to go privately because they will tell you that the waiting list is about five years long.
Yeah.
And then when you go back to the GP and say, right, we've got this diagnosis, we're now getting him titrated on medication, will you accept shared care after we have him stable on medication? And then the GP says, yes, but no, we're not going to do that because we now don't take on anyone who hasn't been diagnosed by the NHS. And therefore, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. And
even worse.
Yes. Mm. And so now, basically, GPs are not taking on anyone with ADHD, and therefore, they don't have to prescribe anyone with ADHD.
I've got to get to at least one more caller. Lastly, someone listening to this now, if you can, then get the cash and go private, or that won't help you because of the NHS hook. What would your final piece of...
My advice would be if you want to help your child or your family member, go private. Don't expect the NHS to pay for it. But to any politician out there, this is wrong. You are failing people by not providing care on the NHS.
This is only a problem that's going to get bigger, by the way. They'll probably have to review their position. Claire, well done for what you did. Don't beat yourself up about being a parent, although you will, because that's all one of the joys of being a parent. Of course, it never, ever stops. Claire, thank you. I'm only feeling, please don't think I'm being rude, but so many people want to have the same. I'll get at least one more if I'm quick. Paul in Tamar Valley in Cornwall. So you've been diagnosed. What does it mean to you, Paul? Good morning.
It was an ending to a very long story. Everything fell into place and made sense in my life. I work as a product design engineer, and my ADHD has been brilliant because it gives me superpowers and creativity.
Break that down a bit. What sort of superpower? You can think in a different way to say I would when it comes to design.
I can come up with ways of... I can solve challenges through design challenges.
But why does the ADHD help? Why would you not be able to do that? Double negative here. Why would you not be able to do that if you didn't have ADHD?
It helps you hyper-focus, so I can think and think and think and think about a problem.
So can I, can't I? No.
No, you think in your sleep. You think when you're watching the TV. You just never stop.
Right.
Well, maybe you've got it then.
Oh, maybe I do. No, maybe I do. I mean, actually, one of my colleagues thinks I'm definitely convinced I'm on the spot. Yeah, maybe I have, actually. But not to your level. I can't decide stuff.
No, it's a superpower. It really is. And so I wouldn't be without it.
What do your friends say?
25 years, 30 years working for myself.
And what are your friends?
Design engineering.
Are you on any form of medication, Paul?
I've just been diagnosed. It took me a year to get the actual interview with the psychiatrist on the National Health. And now I have to wait up to 9 months to receive any drugs.
But you won't worry that by taking medication it will dull some of, I'm using your words, some of your superpowers?
No, it won't. You can take or leave the medication. You don't have to take it all the time. Times when I take the medication, when I want to chill out and relax.
Okay,
and
I see.
The rest of the time, when I'm working, if I've got work on, then I would probably won't take the medication because I want to. Want to be able to hyper focus, and I've given up alcohol.
All right.
In May, I decided to give up alcohol.
Well,
and it's really made the ADHD go crazy.
I'm going to finish there because I'm already over time. Paul, thank you. Be well. Good luck with the diagnosis. Look, I'm very sorry. There's so many people. I've learned some moves. Every day's a school day. But we will certainly return to this subject as quickly as we can. So many people want this. Say, hopefully it's helped some folk. I'm done. James O'Brien's the other side of the news here on LBC. I'll be back with you Monday morning from 7. Meantime, have a safe weekend.
Thank you, Nick. This is a bit weird because, as you may know, if you've been listening this week, we've been having this conversation without it being in the news. Wondering whether or not undiagnosed ADHD may be a little closer to home than we have previously acknowledged. And then, lo and behold, up it pops in the headlines this morning. So we may well return to that story today. But we're going to begin with that internet meme. I don't know if you've seen it. When the worst person you know does something that you either agree with or approve of. Robert Jenrick, as I suggested to you yesterday, has secured many, many plaudits and much, much praise for his attempts to caution fare dodgers on London Transport. What exactly is going on here, and what do you feel about it?
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 10 o'clock, children aged just 14 are being in